Well, it is very encouraging to see each one of you here this evening. And we are going to, this evening, break away from our normal studies. And my mind is turned to a passage in Psalm 105. And we want to spend a little while this evening studying that. And then may the Lord help us to seek His face later on. But it is Psalm 105. Oftentimes in times of trials and times of plague and great illnesses, Psalm 91 is referred to. And it is a wonderful psalm. And in the will of the Lord in future, we might do a series on Psalm 91. But this evening, I want us to read together from Psalm 105, and I want to leave before you just one part of a verse. Verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant He made with Abraham and His oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, He called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that His word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes as at his pleasure, and teach his senators wisdom. Amen. May the Lord bless His word to us. Let us once again bow in prayer. Our gracious God and gracious Heavenly Father, we gather here tonight to hear Thy voice. We are here also to cry unto Thee. We recognize that our only hope and all that we need is found in Thee. We give Thee praise for Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is above all. His name is over all. His works are wonderful. And we give Thee thanks that He is our King, that the governments of this world must bow before Him, that He has shown that nations are nothing. The great military forces of men and their strength are nothing. It is the same what Thou didst do in that when they made that tower of Babel, and thou didst show men how foolish they are, how weak they are. And O Lord, thou didst glorify thyself. And we pray that in such times of trial and affliction, when fear fills people's hearts, that thou wouldst cause thy people to shine forth even brighter than ever before, that our faith in thee might be seen, that thy goodness towards us and thy grace in giving us that perfect peace might be displayed. We pray that thou wouldst protect us, protect our hearts and minds especially, that instead of giving way to anxious thoughts and fears, we might cast all our cares upon thee, knowing that thou dost care for us. We pray for thy blessing, that for those who are very ill tonight, and for those who rule over us, and ask that thou wouldst help and undertake for them. Give much grace and healing. And we pray that our government might be given much wisdom, and that thou wouldst bring them to their knees, that they might seek thee and pray unto thee. O Lord, may there be a day that our government might call days of prayer, and that the nation turn unto thee. Lord, have mercy then. Help thy people to have faith in thee and to look to thee for grace. So bless us now as we consider thy word, and we pray these things through Christ our Savior. Amen. Let us turn, friends, together to Psalm 105. And the word that I want to leave before you are the words of verse 16 onwards, where we read, "Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant." This is a very clear, and it is very clear that this psalm is a psalm looking back over the lives of the people of God. We could call it a historical psalm because the writer is giving a review and making a summary of God's dealings with the patriarchs such as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and so on. And the purpose of this review of history is to note the wisdom of God in the ways in which he leads his people through their lives, and how he shows them his will, how he leads them onward from stage to stage, and how everything that they were experiencing, for good or ill, it was of the Lord's doing. And in such a day as tonight, as we have a government who is very confused and they are trying to do their best, and even a church that also at times displays concern when there is no need to be concerned, we must seek God. We receive our comfort and help and strength through the Lord. But this psalm speaks to all of that. It is a psalm which reveals the hidden hand of God in human affairs, that his finger, as Pharaoh once said, this is the finger of God. God reveals that in human affairs. These patriarchs themselves did not really understand very much in that time, if anything, of what the Lord is doing with them in their own generation. And oftentimes it is very difficult for us to know. Well, it is impossible for us to know what tomorrow will bring forth. It is very clear. Even that kind of a language is being used today in public sphere, in the media. They use biblical language to describe what is happening. And so these patriarchs didn't know. How can we know? Take Abraham, for example. There was an occasion in the life of in his life when Abraham tried to make sure that the promise of God was fulfilled, and he did it himself. God had given him a promise that he would have a seed, and that in his seed all the nations of the world will be blessed. But God kept Abraham waiting. Waiting for so long that in the end, Abraham resorted to try to do it himself. And you, I'm sure, remember that when his own wife was unable to bear him a son, he took a secondary wife, and as it were, a surrogate mother as well, and as we call them today. And Ishmael was born. But the plan of God did not include Ishmael in that line, the blessed line of Abraham. It was for Isaac that the promise was given. Abraham had made a mistake there. God's people can easily fall into certain mistakes. God's people can worry about things when it is not necessary. They can presume things and go forward when they shouldn't. They could lag behind when they shouldn't. And that's why we need much grace and wisdom and waiting upon the Lord. The plan of God and the hidden hand of God in Abraham's life were things which were far greater than he knew or understood. And the same happens for us. We can look back and point the finger at Abraham, but the same kind of fingers must be pointed at us. We see the same thing. The same is true exactly with Isaac in his old age when his eyes were dimmed and he could not see. He called Esau to give him the blessing. But God said to him, and had already said, that the elder shall serve the younger. And the prophet used to say later that Esau I have hated. And Jacob I have loved. Isaac did not see the hidden hand of God and the secret purpose of God. He tried to do it himself, but the purpose of God was greater than himself. And the same is true in the life of Jacob. And it is abundantly true in the life of this man who comes before us now in this text, this amazing man, Joseph. And the same applies for us. The hidden hand of God and the hidden purposes of God. When people cry out, why do these things happen in the nation? And we find ourselves that there is a famine in the land. There is a plague running through the land. And we have to ask ourselves, who has done this? When there is this evil thing happening, who has done this? We must see the hand of God at work. It is the Lord who allows, and more than that, it is the Lord who chooses such things. And here we read, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. Who called it? That was in the eyes of the people, a wicked thing, an evil thing. But it was of God's doing. God never sins. And what he does is just. And what in our eyes is seen to be wicked and evil and something that we think we don't want our God to do. But, and yet this land and this world has gone against the Lord and has gone against their own maker. We have made idols with our hands. We have refused to know the Lord. And so this world under sin is cursed by the Lord. So we should not expect blessing from God, and yet God blesses us. He shows compassion for us. And so let us think about this man Joseph, especially the way the scriptures speak of him. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. I think it is an amazing way the Lord is speaking here. When you look at the life of Joseph, you have to say that this is a, as it were, a perfect story. It has a happy ending, as all stories ought to do. It begins with trouble, it then ends in triumph, ends with blessing and a happy ending. It begins with tears and ends with joy. My friends, this is a life that yet Joseph himself did not fully know what the Lord was exactly doing. What he was doing is that he wanted to do that which is right with the Lord. And the scripture says again and again in Genesis that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Even though he did not understand the secret plan of God, and he didn't exactly see it at the beginning, but God gave him various clues. God gave him his word and encouraged him in various ways at the beginning of his life, and the way he had those dreams, if you remember. Again, for him, that was the word of God and the leading of God. Remember how his father favored him more than his brothers and gave him a coat of many colors to distinguish him from his brothers. And this young man was the son of his favorite wife, and he had his coat of colors. His father loved him. He made this beautiful coat of many colors and distinguished him from all the rest of his brothers. And for this, his brothers hated him. But then he had these dreams, the sheaves in the field, if you remember, all bowed down to his sheaf. And the sun and the moon and the stars made obeisance to him, again bowed down before him. And when he told these dreams to his father even, and his brothers, they all thought this was a strange thing, and this was a proud young man. And they thought it was a bad thing that he was doing, and they didn't like him. And in one occasion they said, well, we shall see what will become of his dreams. And then the most terrible thing of all happened. They sold him into slavery, into Egypt, for 20 pieces of silver. And what an unnatural thing to do. He was the youngest at that time. Benjamin was not yet on the scene. And they hated him, and they sold him into Egypt for 20 pieces of silver. These bad things were happening, and then God sends this famine in the land. Awful things are happening to this young man whom God has chosen. And then this famine comes. And it is a comfort to us to remember that all of these things were being done in that one family of which we could say it was the most godly family in the world at that time. And yet in this godliest of families in the world at that time, the older brothers were conspiring to sell the younger brother into that slavery. And you might think your family is bad. This is a family. Which one of you have tried to sell your siblings into slavery? But that is what was happening. Selling him to these Ishmaelites and the Midianites. So they sold him. They turned him and they made him into a slave into Egypt. And that wasn't the end of his troubles. You see, here is a man who doesn't know exactly what God is doing and what God is preparing him for. He doesn't know that there is a famine coming later on, 20 years down the line. And yet God was working and preparing this man. And then you know the other accounts, how he's sold eventually to be a servant to a high-ranking man by the name of Potiphar. But when the husband is away from home, and Joseph went to serve and went to do some work, Potiphar's wife took fancy to him. And more than one occasion, and at one point when she wanted to have him, he ran away and left his garment behind. And then he was put into prison. He was accused and he was lied against and was put in prison. And not only into prison, we are told, but into a dungeon, into the king's dungeon. And presumably this was where the top security criminals were held. And the word of God tells us that his soul was in chains, not simply his body, but he felt very much bound. And so this was the life of this young man, a godly young man. And all along, these bad things were happening. God was with him. He was looking to the Lord. He was looking for God's grace. People might have looked at him and thought that God does not like him, that God hates him, and that he's under the curse and the condemnation of God. And yet that was the very opposite of things. And friends, this might be the case. This evening, you might think to yourself, why certain things happen and why God's people suffer, why they are persecuted, and such things. But God's people must realize that the Lord, our God, is with us in whatever circumstance we are in. And we might be bound up in a home one time, and we might feel ourselves we are imprisoned in this place. Remember Joseph then. And we ought not to be filled with complaints. We must be filled with trust. Words of that God is faithful. We must be faced with praise. And if you're ever bound in this time of your life in a home and in a room and you can't get out, that's the time to memorize more of a scripture. That's the time to memorize more hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, and for you to get to know God before the Lord, that you can say, well, I was bound up. I had to be isolated. I was quarantined. But the Lord was with me and helped me and supported me and strengthened me. Now, friends, we cannot read our life backwards, can we? If you have the biography of some great men, you can begin to at the last chapter. And you can come back to the very beginning and read the rest and to find out what happened in between. But you can find that. Sometimes I do that. I read the last chapter first because I would like to know what happened at the end. And you can do that with people's biographies. And you can do that with an autobiography. You can see what's happening at the end. You can see who are the friends of this man, who are his allies, who are his enemies, and what happens. But you can't do that if you were to write your own book about yourself. You can't do that. You can't finish the last chapter. And you will not know how it will end right now. You cannot see into the future. Friend, that is how God has seen fit, then, to reveal his will to us one day at a time. He shows what he wants us to do each day as it passes, and what he requires us while other people are filled with fear, while other people do not know what to do. We must day by day trust in the Lord. We must day by day have the Word of God before us, be encouraged in the Word of God. And I find these words again very encouraging as we read there that in verse 16, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. And then it says, he sent a man before them, even Joseph. They didn't know there was a famine going to come 20 years down the line. We didn't know, even at the beginning of the year, this virus was going to flood the world and flood this nation. We had no clue. But at the same time, do you know how God will end things? Do you know what process, what means God will use? We know that God has those things already worked out. God has already sent forth the things that we need. But what should we do in the meantime? Should we be hateful and angry like Joseph's brothers? Should we be filled with confusion like Pharaoh's of the day? Or what? We should, as God's people, remember that God sees the need and he has already sent the provision. It's all working itself out. And we should trust in the Lord's timing and the Lord's keeping. That's what we should do. We should be using the time instead of how those, even Joseph's father, Jacob, how he was filled with fear and anxiety. If he only knew that Joseph was alive, if he only knew that Joseph would be their savior, how he would be spending his time rejoicing and shining forth the glory of the Lord. And God's people today, we must be shining even brighter. We should be as those people who are not looking around fearful, We should be as those who use these times when the nation is filled with fear and darkness to be as that city upon the hill that cannot be hid. And we should be as those who would be praising God that even though you might be in your home, you, people, your neighbors can still hear you sing and praise God, and they can still hear you worshiping the Lord within your families, and to hear you talking that God is in control and bless His name, and for you, for them to see that as a good Samaritan, you're demonstrating love and going the extra mile to be a blessing to your neighbors and those that you know. So God sent forth a man before them, before any of these things happened, before the famine came. God had already seen to their need. He saw their need. And this is what the psalmist is rehearsing and showing us of this wonderful truth. Friends, look at verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. Now, this is what we have exactly in the book of Genesis, where we read that this man's life, he was in the dungeon, he was in the prison, he was in fetters and in irons. But the day came when Pharaoh sent forth his word, and this man was taken hastily out of prison. They shaved him, or he shaved himself. They took him into the presence of the king. And all of a sudden, the fortunes changed. The day came when he saw his dream fulfilled before his very eyes. All of this was hidden, that hidden plan of God. 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine, and his brothers came along speaking their Hebrew language, and he interviewed them, speaking to them in the Egyptian language. And it never crossed their minds that this was their brother. He understood them speaking to one another, but they did not understand him. And no wonder he turned his face away and brushed the tears and from his eyes. And when he heard them accusing themselves for what they had done against him years before, he understood those words. And they never dreamed that he understood. He was given such authority in the land. He could bind the princes. He could teach the senators understanding and wisdom. And God suddenly exalted this man, Joseph, and lifted him up out of his low condition. The day came when he was able to say to them, I am Joseph, your brother. And there may come a time in your life, in the coming days and weeks, that you can point to greater than Joseph. And there might come a time for you to bear witness of him and speak clearly to these people whose spiritual language right now is not of Canaan. It is not of heaven. But you can speak to them and say to them, I understand your language because my language used to be like that. But I speak to you of one who is more than Joseph. And he is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, remember these things. Remember the hand of God, the secret will of God. And then it was that they saw their folly, they saw their shame, they saw what they had done, and they came in the midst of their fears. They were then filled with joy as well. Who can tell what God's will is right now? And that what His plan is for United Kingdom, what His plan is for various nations of the world. He's bringing us to bow before Him. And may it be true that He's bringing us to embrace Jesus Christ. That throughout the world, the name of Christ might be praised. And friends, we learn these things from the life of Joseph. We learn this when it says here that he sent a man before them. God is already at work. God is already has his plan sent forth before this coronavirus hit this nation and this world. And think about it again, looking at Joseph's life, that the day came that all the family came to be with him in the land of Egypt. He died old and full of days. A true saint, a great example of everything good, and yet his life was filled with trouble. His life was filled with famines as well. A perfect life, but the second half of the life explains the first half of his life. Now, think about these things then, friends. Think and be encouraged this evening that our God is the same God, that our God has had these things under his control, and he knew when he would send this as it were, this famine, this plague in the land. His people should not be surprised. His people should not be losing their mind and their heart and be filled with fear at this time. You look around you, you see people who are reacting in such a way, and you see the selfishness and the depravity of man all around us. And people are seeing it themselves. The media is already describing things as people being self-righteous and uncaring and unloving. And yet we are living in a very liberal nation. Supposed to be, everybody is supposed to be loving one another. And even last week, while the races was going on, and people were talking about, but people are better these days. People are much kinder these days. We don't suffer, and we don't hurt each other anymore in the same level as before. And then suddenly, within 2 or 3 days, it all changed. For the sake of bread, they are willing to hurt one another and steal from one another. It is a shameful thing, but God's people should not be surprised. It's simply the fruit of the heart of a man that is being displayed in our country. So we see a nation, we are living in a nation that is not governed by biblical principles. It is being governed by selfishness and greed and a heart that is devoid of God. Still they go on with all of these things. They still go on not bowing before the Lord. So our prayer should be, Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, visit us. Lord, bless thy church. Bless the ministers, that we may not be simply hiding the light of the truth of the gospel, but we would be shining forth even more today. This is where the people need to see. This is when people are filled with these kinds of anxious thoughts. They need to see and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you will have opportunities. You will have opportunities to speak to your family and loved ones. You will have opportunities to talk about to people and speak to them that there is something greater than this virus. There's the sin that needs to be dealt with. And you can speak about the heavenly Joseph. You can speak of someone who's been sent already into this world full of famine and plagues. And he has already died for us. And the Lord has exalted him. And he is now living for us. So friends, these are some of the things that we ought to think about as we consider these words. We might take up some of these thoughts in future, but I thought that this verse is an encouraging verse. There are many other passages we could have talked about. We could have looked at various other psalms, but I thought this is a wonderful truth that we don't always think about. And it says clearly, before the famine came, already God had sent forth. Before them all, Joseph was sent. And at this moment in time, things are very unclear. We don't know what will happen even at the end of the week. Every day is changing. New advice is given. But God's people must be sure. We must have this confidence. This was not a surprise to God. God actually sent it. And that with it, he sees the need of his people. He sees the need of his church. He sees the need of a God-hating land also. And he has already sent forth his own truth. And his gospel is with us. We have Jesus Christ at our side. And we have all the promises of God. Already before anything in our life, any trials in our lives, that we have had the word of God. And so, let us be encouraged, friends, this evening. Let us also be as those who are shining as the sun, as we speak of the Lord, as we demonstrate his grace. So, friends, be encouraged this evening. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Well, may the Lord bless these things to each one of us. We'll sing now.